Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hi, welcome to today's edition of the podcast. We've got Leslie Morgan-Barlow with us today. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Zoe.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming along.
You're welcome.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what you've been up to and what you're doing now currently?
Well, I think probably the most important thing is that up until, 7-8 years ago, my only experience of dentistry was as a patient. I've never worked in dentistry before. And then for some reason that will remain a mystery forever is I decided to invest and buy a dental practice. And that's where I've been ever since. Before that, I was working in business, HR, worked for a lot of big law firms, the NHS, moved around a little bit, but yeah, HR and business was my background, which was really useful when starting the business.
Yeah, of course, all those things come into consideration when you're working in a dental practice.
Yeah, I think people don't realise just how important HR is.
I think probably the last 10 years, I think it's become quite key in practice, but yeah. I think for a lot of years, many, many years, I think it's just been something that people have not got involved in, or just sort of buried the head.
Yeah. I mean, it's not unusual to any industry. I mean, when I joined the law firm, believe it or not, even though it was a law firm, no one had a contract of employment.
I know. When you think how far we've come.
I know. In a very, very short period of time.
Anyway, today I want to talk about motivating teams to success. Hopefully that's you and I both have something that we've spent lots of time in practice working on. So considering all of that and things how to inspire your team, what sort of things do you have to consider? What factors do you have to take into consideration?
I think for us, it is about having a strong leadership. Because it's jointly owned by myself and the dentist, it's about us coming together and agreeing the vision for the practice, what we both want. Because sometimes what I want is completely different to what my business partner wants. But what we do share is a passion for the business and a passion for the industry. And we find our vision from that. And there's passing it down to the staff. So sharing that vision with them in terms that they understand and being passionate about it. I said before, we're passionate about the industry. Mm-hmm. We're passionate about the business. We're passionate about our patients. And we're passionate about our staff. And all those things together kind of gives us a mutuality. So we're all in it together. Yeah. You know, I don't expect my girls to do anything that I wouldn't do. Okay, I can't be a dental nurse because I'm not qualified to be a dental nurse. But, you know, other things around the practice, if it's even down to making a cup of tea, do you know what I mean? I wouldn't expect them to bring me a cup of tea.
Yeah, that's important.
Exactly. And it's the little things and recognising when they're under stress and pressure.
Yeah.
And trying to alleviate some of that for them.
Do you think it's important that you make it part of your role to understand their role, even though you don't do their role? It's to understand the headaches that come.
Absolutely.
Struggles.
I mean, I've learned so much certainly in the last 3 years. I didn't realise how much I didn't know when they went into it, because I just thought it's a business. I don't need to be a manager. You don't need to know the business. But what you do need to do is understand the business.
That's right.
And that's the difference.
Yes.
And I've learned so much in the last 8 years, but I'd say more so in the last couple of years, where I've been working closer with Richard, my business partner, on things like treatment coordination and things like that. So that's really improved my knowledge. And I think that's improved the strength of the team. Because I know more and I can share some of their pressures.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what they need. And they know they've got the support then, don't they?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, going back to motivating teams, I think that you touched on it then about sharing, you know, your passion with the team. And I think we both agree that sharing the vision of the practice is quite important to keep that motivation going and to make them feel included.
Well, if not, you're just doing a job. You don't know what you're doing it for. You've got to have a goal in mind. You've got to have an end goal of where that business wants to be.
Yeah, because how can they know if they don't know?
Exactly,
so to speak.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we're all guilty of thinking people learn by osmosis. I know, therefore you know, without actually being explicit. And taking that time out from a business practice to share the vision is important.
I think you're right. I think we do forget to describe and sort of tell. I think we presume that people understand what we're trying to achieve. So once they have achieved then and they are succeeding and they're doing really well, do you believe that reward and recognition plays a massive part.
Absolutely. And I think the thing is that, you know, in the past we've always recognised and rewarded based on what the team's achieved. You know, we have milestones throughout the year of targets that we want to hit, and when we hit a target we celebrate, and we celebrate as a team. Because the team is a sum of all those individual parts. Yeah, individual recognition is fantastic, and you should always recognise individual contribution. But recognising the team and how everyone pulls together, I think that's more important sometimes than just because we are the sum of all the parts.
Yeah. It's a nice thing to do as well. I think it just brings the team together as well.
Absolutely.
No one feels devalued. I think everyone feels equal.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
You know, and we've done things on an individual basis because, you know, if we have individual talks, or we have sometimes run a competition to say, this is the goal, we need to get there as a team, and the person who contributes the most or has the most success will receive this prize. And it's a prize, it's not money, because money, anyone who does anything on HR will know that money will only motivate you so far. So if I give you an extra £10 and you pay, great, you're happy on day today, but tomorrow it's gone.
Soon disappears, that feeling, doesn't it?
And that feeling of that high that you have because you've had that recognition disappears. But when you make it a physical prize, I think people then see that and they go, I got that for doing this.
Yes.
And you've got it with you always. I mean, we did one a few years ago, and it was about signing up members to practice plan.
Yeah.
And what we did was we said, right, this is the target for the month. The person who signs up the most plans will receive a Pandora charm. But we have to hit the target first.
Yeah.
So if it was 25,
great
we have to hit 25 in the month. The girls were all into Pandora at the time. Mm. So the person who gets most of that 25 will get the charm.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And it worked really, really well. And there was, you know, they had a scoreboard. They were ticking off how many they did.
Bit of fun with it
And
as
it was
well.
A bit of fun.
Yeah.
And it was a prize. So every time that the person who won the charm looks at it, goes, I got that for that, you know, achieving that goal.
Yeah. That sounds wonderful.
It doesn't matter if you've got men sometimes, but hey.
And all the Pandora charm,
and if you haven't got a Pandora bracelet.
Definitely, but no, I get what you're saying.
It's fine to what they're
cash can be easily just overlooked quite quickly and forgotten. So Leslie, you must have that one member of staff, or have had that one member of staff that's been quite difficult to motivate or keep motivated. So how have you found things work best for you, and what have you done?
I think you have to realise what's going on in people's lives. Everyone can be demotivated at some point because, you know, we all have complex lives these days, and I think for us, we tend to have an ethos within the team that we are like a family because we spend so much time together. We're a comparatively small team, and we always said we are the family, we are the synergy family, is how we used to describe ourselves. And as a family, if we need help, we ask for it, and if we see somebody needs help, we give it. Right, so that's the core of what we do.
Yeah.
But then it's about communication. And if, for example, I feel you're letting the team down, so you're coming in constantly late, it's not about saying to you, Zoe, you've come in late again. It's about, Zoe, but, you know, I've noticed that you're coming in later and later every day. The impact of that is that Becky's having to pick up, you know, your work, and that's having an adverse effect on Becky, who's now getting really disgruntled because she feels, you know, that she's putting in that much extra and covering for you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about them getting, seeing what they're doing to their team members and their friends rather than to the business.
Yeah, good point there. Do you think there's things in practice that are sort of triggers for demotivating a team?
Yeah, absolutely there are. Quite often people tend to become more demotivated when they feel undervalued, because we can all take people for granted, especially when we're under pressure. It's a bit like I just said, you know, to you. You're coming in late, Becky's picking up the slack. Becky quite quickly can feel undervalued because you're putting on her. I'm not recognising the extra contribution she's making, and she's feeling taken for granted. And I think that quite often can demotivate her. It can then lead to conflict within the team. Yeah, so then it's getting worse. The demotivation is getting worse. If I'm not a good leader and I'm not recognising what's going on.
I was going to say that that's quite a key one, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
When
poor
you don't
leadership.
Act upon, exactly.
You know, and it'll be okay. It's fine. You know, she's going through a few issues at the moment, you'll be fine. You know, and people quite quickly get demotivated, and then before you realise it, they've applied for another job and they're leaving, and you've lost all that skill. You've lost the investment that you've made in them, and you've now got to recruit somebody else, and the cost of recruiting, especially for a dental, an experienced dental nurse, is phenomenal.
It's not
so
where you want to
never
be.
Look after and nurture your staff. I mean, we're very lucky where we are. All our girls have grown with us and have stayed with the practice. You know, and I think that is invaluable. That's their loyalty, and that's what you really need. Yeah, the contribution's great, but loyalty, rewarding loyalty, and for staff to stay with you is so important.
I think you're right. I think that if you, you know, you find a team and the attitude's right, the hard work's worth putting in, you know, dealing with the problems and challenges, you know, and a few years on, when you're through that, you know, you end up with the best team possible.
Absolutely. And we all get bad apples from time to time. And it's surprising how quickly that can, you know, have an adverse effect on the team.
Yeah. But for a leader sometimes to turn that around and make that bad apple into a, you know, a great member of the team, that can be seen as well.
Of course it can.
And that's really nice from a practice manager or leader point of view. I think ownership sometimes as well, and making them have value in their role. So obviously I think it's important to encourage team members to take ownership. So how do you do that in practice?
Right, well we have a little story. Well, everybody at the moment, we get them to work on their passions. That's the key. So if you've got somebody who loves shopping, right,
that's me.
You make them respond. Yeah, exactly. You make them responsible for ordering because they will shop for the best bargain. Mm-hmm. Right. If you've got somebody who's got OCD, right, give them something that needs ordering. So the cleaning, the decontamination, because they will follow a rigid routine because they've got them. I say OCD in a flippant way, but if you do have people with them who would like everything in its place, they're great organizer practice. Yes. Fantastic. Yeah. So there's things like that.
Never looked at it like that, you know. That's really quite
good. Yeah, because if I say to you, like, you're a slob, you live in a house, it's all untidy, but you're going to clean the practice.
Yeah, not great for decon room.
Exactly. How suited to that role are you? Mm. The other thing is, have you ever heard the story about anybody, somebody, nobody, or everybody?
No.
If you haven't, Google it.
Oh.
It's really, really good mantra. We have it pinned up on the notice board in the staff room, and it's all about a job that anybody could do. And it goes along the lines of somebody could do it, and everybody thought that somebody would. So consequently, nobody does it. But it's all this, and it's like, it's quite a little complex little rhyme. But it gets to the nub of it. So if you see something that needs doing, you do it. Because if you don't, guess what? Nobody probably will. Yeah. And whose responsibility is it?
Yeah. So it's worth recognising that the talent in someone and giving them a job appropriate to that, really.
Absolutely.
Rather than giving them something and keep carrying on asking them to do something that's not achievable.
If somebody's really bad at maths, let's give them the accounts to look after. you know, it's that type of thing, you know. And too often, I think, as employees, you're trying to squeeze square pegs into round holes and saying, you know, everybody will be able to do that, and not everybody can. So you find what they're good at, and you not exploit it, but you work to their strengths.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Really enjoyed that, Leslie. Thank you ever so much.
Very welcome.
Thank you very much. And we'll have to do more at a later stage. Thank you very much.